apre largo benissimo, bravo, sempre lucido anche al 90esimo. Keita lo attaccano in due, cerca la palla dentro, il velo, il tiro, Lautaro, gol! Attenzione, palla dentro per Lautaro, Lautaro, il tiro, è gol, è gol, è gol, è gol, è gol, il Toro, il Toro, il Toro, il Toro, il Toro.
And welcome here to another episode of the Serpents of Inter podcast. I'm Matt Clark, site manager for serpentsofmatadena.com. Joining me, as he has for the past couple of weeks, Sam Poor. Sam, welcome. Welcome from Sweden. How are things in the cold country?
Well, to be honest, it's gotten a little bit warmer and you can feel the spring in the air. And on top of that, things are going very, very well. It's going to be a good week this weekend because you have Arnold Classic Ohio and you have football on TV. So I'm all set.
Yeah, you really can't beat that. So just to let our listeners know, this is kind of a new venture. We've jumped on board with the SB Nation network, which is great. It allows us to have a little bit more flexibility in terms of what we can do and how we can do it and all that good stuff. So we're really excited about that. We should be, if we're not already, we should be up on iTunes and other platforms here very soon. So that is also very exciting. And you can listen to us in multiple different, multiple platforms, as you see fit. But, to get to the task at hand, lots of stuff to go over. We've had, it's just been a crazy couple of weeks. Wow. If you're an Inter fan, and obviously we could talk about Mauro Icardi and probably spend a good couple hours on that, but we'll shift that here just a little bit. First and foremost, I want to talk about the Europa League and Inter getting through with a big home match win against Rapid Vienna, massive win, winning 5-1 on aggregate or 5-0 on aggregate rather, and pushing themselves through to the round of 16. And now an interesting matchup here in that they draw Eintracht Frankfurt, and this is probably a draw that Inter probably didn't want. If you had to look at the other 14 teams in the draw, obviously you have Napoli and you've got Arsenal and Chelsea that are in there too. But really, if you think about it, Frankfurt is probably one of the most potentially dangerous teams to have. And while this will provide a great matchup, I think this will be a great two legs to watch. I think in terms of being just a pure Inter fan and hoping they get through to the next round, this is probably one you didn't want. Frankfurt, a very solid team, had an extremely successful group stage, and went through into the round of 16, not easily, but fairly easily. I just think this presents a wealth of challenges for Luciano Spalletti and Inter. So, Sam, give me your thoughts. What do you think about this matchup on paper?
Well, to begin with, Frankfurt is actually a very dangerous team. I encourage everyone to watch those games because I think it's going to be very entertaining because Frankfurt has a very, very good offense. They have one of Perisic and Brozovic countrymen actually on the team who has been very pivotal for them. So, I don't think people should underestimate what they can bring to the table. These types of game are pretty tricky because if on a good day, you know, we should beat them, but you never know. So I would say that watch out for their offense because they go in all gears pushing. So I'm looking very much forward to this. It's going to be very interesting to see how Inter approaches this game. And I'm very curious to see if Keita Balde is back to being fit at that point, and if Icardi is going to play at all. So, very, very interesting. I'm looking very much forward to it. And to be honest, I can't tell how it's going to go, but my gut feeling tells me that we will probably take them. But I'm hoping for a very entertaining two games.
I think it's going to be that, to be sure. The first leg in Frankfurt on March 7th. The second leg will be back at the Giuseppe Meazza on a week later on March 14th. Both of those matches will be on Bleacher Report Live here in the United States. DAZN, D-A-Z-N, and other places around the world, plus many other outlets. Make sure you check out Serpents of Matadena. We'll have all that information for you. The next thing I want to get to is something that has been a pain point for the last several days for Inter fans, myself included, and I'm sure you as well. And that is, the match Sunday at Fiorentina. Wow, first off, I can't speak highly enough about how Inter came out and played this match. Fiorentina, Pioli came out with a very tight formation. He was trying to clog things up a little bit. It bit him. And we saw nice play by Inter. They were able to make crisp, clean passes. They were able to find outlets. They attacked early, and they really neutralized Fiorentina in the first half. I think I even heard the ESPN commentators that this is one of the most exciting 45 minutes of football they've ever seen, even though it was 0-0. And then the second half, goals galore, things explode. But really, I think that the center of all this isn't necessarily the result, albeit it's a byproduct of it, and that is VAR. And there's no secret that Inter fans, and I would imagine that after the match, even though they wound up with a draw and earned a point, I think Fiorentina fans would have to be a little disgusted with VAR as well, just with the way it was used. But I think the biggest miscarriage here has got to be the last about 101st minute, 100th minute of the match, where a penalty was whistled on Danilo D'Ambrosio for handball in the area, when you could see clearly, I could see on the replay that was being shown, and anyone else who was watching could see it as well, that the ball didn't touch his arm. It touched his chest, and you could clearly see that. I think D'Ambrosio even knew that, as he wasn't making a heavy appeal initially, because I think he was fairly confident in that a penalty would be overturned. Alas, after review, after looking at it, a penalty is awarded. And for all its good points, VAR and VAR is good. I don't think there's not a place for VAR in football. I think it's important. I think it's key. If referees use it correctly, it's a way to make sure you're getting the call correct. It is to make sure that you are giving goals correctly, that you are really examining how things are. Granted, I don't think it should take a half an hour to look at it, as it did with the Fiorentina match. But here, I just really struggle to see what the rationale was in allowing the penalty. And I'm trying to take emotion out of this, okay? Realizing that initially when I see it, I'm furious. I mean, I'm just like, well, what is this? This is awful. This is a horrible call. This is certainly going to be overturned. After it wasn't overturned, I became even more incensed about it. Now I've had a chance to kind of think about it and not get emotion into it. I still have to question what the rationale is. What happened here? Why was this called a penalty? And even just looking at the replay over and over and over again, which I have done, I've looked at it numerous times over the last couple of days, I still can't see it. I can't see the justification for the initial ruling on the field. I just can't. So was this an ego based decision by the referee? Was this one of those things where pressure. He had made previous? Did he make previous mistakes and thought this was a good way to cover it up? What's the rationale here? And I can't find it. I can't see it.
I think you're touching on a few points here. First of all, just on a side note, I did say 3-1, and if it wasn't for Muriel's amazing free kick and the referee giving the penalty, I would have been right on that one too. But that's
You did say a lot of goals in the Rapid match, and you did say it was going to be 3-1 with Fiorentina, and both would have proven correct if not for some things happening. So if there's anyone looking to take a trip to Vegas and lay odds on either over-unders or score lines, then Sam is probably someone you want to reach out to, because he came pretty close to nailing it this time around. But I just don't understand it. I don't get it. And I know you said pressure. You know, was this a situation where the referee felt pressure to make a call?
I think the audience had some to do with that, and amongst other things, I think that he felt like, because, I mean, the VAR had a lot of impact on the game for Inter as well as for Fiorentina, because we did get a penalty due to VAR when the ball touched his hand, you know, on the free kick that was a correct call,
was absolutely right on.
But I think it was a psychological effect it had on the stadium, and the pressure it gave to the referee. And on the hindsight, you know, it's unanimously concluded that this was the wrong decision. This was totally wrong, and it actually shouldn't happen. And you know, it's quite weird, because it doesn't take that long to actually come to that conclusion, because if you look at the when we looked at the game, you know, he took a very, very long time to actually look at this from every angle, and it was very, very clear that the ball did touch Sampdoria's chest. And plus, Chiesa did actually, if you want to be nitpicky about it, Chiesa did actually foul D'Ambrosio before receiving the ball in the scenario when he was Chiesa was getting the ball, because he jumped up and his elbow was on D'Ambrosio's face. So I think that whole thing was very, very bizarre. It was a very bad call. It was very weak refereeing. And these things, I don't know if it's Inter, but you know, it's very common for us to get these types of calls. And as I've read, the referee has received a three game ban, I think it was.
Yes. Yep. And he won't be officiating any Inter matches anytime soon.
No. But that's the thing. That doesn't actually help, because for starting next season, he will probably be able to refereeing Inter games. But the problem I have was that the first year that VAR actually came in play, that year, I think it was last year. Yes, it was last year. That year, it was much, much better, because when it was implemented last season, it worked much better, because I think that the principle was that if VAR, if those who watch it on the screen, or those referees that watch it on the screen, if they stopped and told the referee that something was wrong, then the referee had no choice than to look at it. But starting this season, I think that the referee has a veto and can call for himself in a sense. So I don't know how that works, but I think they changed it for this season. So last year it was much better. It was more fluid. But this year, and this game, you know, this can actually cost us the third place, because Milan is playing very well, and we are losing some players, and we are a little bit on a slow run right now. So I don't know. I thought that that game was a total anticlimax for me. So no.
Well, here's the thing. You talk about pressure, and I understand that to a slight degree. But as an official, that's not a factor. You don't factor in the crowd. You don't factor in any of those outside. In fact, you're supposed to tune those things out. And as the official, you have to have the gumption and the wherewithal to understand that if you make the wrong call, it's okay to say you made the wrong call. That's fine. That's what VAR is for. VAR is there as a means to review calls on the field, and to if credible evidence, enough evidence is presented to show the call is not correct, to overturn that call and be man or woman enough to say that you did. That's the case. And in this case, that did not happen. So whether it's pressure, you know, whatever the case may be, the fact remains. Yeah, the fact remains is that you know, as an official and as someone who's supposed to be highly regarded on the pitch, if you made the wrong call, own up. I made the wrong call. Yes, VAR overturned it. It's not the right call. Wave it off. It's a free kick. Move on. Blow the whistle. We're done. But that didn't happen. He let his pride, he let his ego, and he let other personal things. I don't want to say it was a personal thing with wanting Fiorentina to draw even or anything like that. I don't want to get in the middle of that. I don't think that was the case at all. But I think this came down to his personal pride, and I think it came down to his personal ego. And I think that those are things that have to be factored out, and they weren't.
And in such a critical time in the game as well, you know, this call wasn't made in a time where, you know, we could actually do something. It was actually it was almost the last thing that happened in the game. So, you know, if you're gonna make such a big call that is gonna have impact on the result, at least, you know, like you said, be humble about it. You know, be humble that you made a bad call and look at it. But on a hindsight, you know, when he blew the whistle before checking the VAR, he was actually 100% sure that it was a penalty, because he just pointed at the penalty spot. So I don't know, man. I think that it was such a disappointment to see, and I was so upset about it. But it is what it is. I mean, regardless of what we say and do right now, I think that the best thing we can do at this point is actually to continue to work in this path, because what I see is that the willpower in the players, that they actually want to move forward. Because look at it like this: they scored like before the first minute of that game,
and in all fairness, Stefan De Vrij scored the first minute of the match.
Well, we conceded a goal, if I put it like that. We conceded a goal very, very, very early in this early state in the game, and with that we actually took the lead and put three behind them, and then, you know, it got turned over again. You know, the Luis Muriel comes in and he does what he does, then they get this controversial penalty that wasn't a penalty. So on hindsight, you know, if we want to look at it in an inter perspective, we actually did play a good game. You know, a lot of players stepped up and did a good job. But you know, I hate when games come down to focusing on a referee, because the referee shouldn't be a central part of a game. You know, we shouldn't even be talking about referees. Referees are
that's a rule of being an official, is you never want to be the storyline.
No,
it's not your job to be the storyline. It's your job to ensure the rules on the field, on the pitch, on the court, wherever you are, that they are being adhered to. That's it. That's your job. That's your job. That's it. That is as simple as I can possibly make it, is that your job is to make sure rules are being followed, not to become a storyline, not to be a headline, not to dominate coverage, not to dominate, you know, activity on the pitch or on the field or anywhere else. That's not your job. And if you think that's your job, then you're in the wrong profession. End of story.
One thing that I don't know if you recognize. Did you see when Politano scored his goal and he did that Icardi gesture?
and I'm not sure if Perisic wasn't happy with that or what, but
I don't know.
That is very interesting. It was interesting, and then they wound up holding hands afterwards. So that there, you have that.
You know, it can go both ways, because it doesn't need to be that Perisic didn't want Icardi he doing that gesture because he's in a dispute with Icardi. It could be that he didn't want the game to go to that point, because he knew that if he does that, you know, it's going to be written on in blogs, and, you know, people are going to talk about it. So maybe he just didn't want the focus to be on that, and rather the focus being on the goal, and that's we actually scored. So, you know, people can make them up their minds about what they want. If Perisic do that to demonstrate, you know, that he and Icardi has a problem, and he wants to show that he's the new leader, and so on and so forth. But, you know, it can easily be that he didn't want Politano to do that because he knew that it would be taken way out of proportion too. So what did you think about that? Do you think that Perisic actually did it because to make a statement, or do you think that he just did it just
I think Politano might have been trying to show at least either it was either a sign of respect or a sign of disrespect. And you could take it 50-50 either way. I mean, it was either, hey, you're still part of our team. Let me show you a little respect. Or, hey, you know what? Someone else can do this. We don't really need you. And I think Perisic was just trying to mitigate it and say, okay, you know what? Not now. Not now. Move on. Let's play the match. Great goal. Great game. Let's just move on. So, I think ultimately that was one of those two scenarios. Which one? It's hard to say. You probably have to ask Politano, and no one's going to ask. So, we're just left to our conjecture. That said, speaking of break, let's pause here real quickly. We'll take a real quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Friday's matchup, and we'll dive a little bit into Icardi Gate. I know everyone's talking about it, more on the horizon, but we'll talk more about that when we come back on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Serpents of Inter podcast on the SB Nation Podcast Network. And welcome back here to the Serpents of Inter podcast. Matt Clark, site manager for serpentsofmatadena.com. Sam Poor joining me here as well. We've talked about the Europa League in Frankfurt. We've talked about Fiorentina. Before we get into Friday's matchup with Cagliari, let's just rehash the latest happenings with Mauro Icardi, because we'd be remiss if we didn't, and it wouldn't be nearly as entertaining if we didn't. So at last mention, Inter was going to present Icardi with a contract anywhere in the range of 6.5 to 7 million euro per year. And leave it pretty much up to them. News this morning out of Italy is that now Napoli has decided they want to join the race, and has apparently, and I'm not really sure if this is legit or not, but has apparently laid down an offer of 11 million euro per season for Icardi to come to Naples and play for Carlo Ancelotti. This also leaves Juventus still in the mix as well. And apparently, according to the Tutto Mercato web piece, and again, take all this with a grain of salt, because I've learned that with Italian media, it's kind of, maybe it's right, maybe it's not, but no. It looks good on paper and people buy papers. So
yes.
that Inter has actually already agreed to sell Icardi to Juventus.
Yes.
I'm not sure if that's really the case. I don't know if I'd necessarily buy that. Plus, there's other European suitors, possibly Manchester United. Not Chelsea anymore, but Chelsea might have been, but they're not anymore. Maybe Real Madrid, which I'm kind of on the fence about. I'm not really sure about that. But so that's kind of where things stand as of now. Icardi likely not playing Friday. He hasn't played for the last 2 weeks, still with whatever injury is ailing him, whether it's bursitis or a knee injury or whatever it is. I'm trying really hard to give him the benefit of the doubt. I really am. But as these things keep coming out, as his wife keeps opening her mouth, as these stories keep piling up, I'm finding it more and more difficult to give him that benefit of the doubt, just because I just don't understand the motive. Do you want to play or not? If you don't want to play, fine. Say you don't want to play, be done. We'll sell you in the summer, and that's it. End of story. Don't let this drag out. Don't let the club waste valuable time trying to find and draft a contract, go through their lawyers, go through agents, go through all this other rigmarole to get you a contract, only for you to say no. If you want to move on, move on. If you don't want to play, fine. If that's the case, don't get paid. If you don't want to play, you're not getting paid. End of story. If it's really an injury, show me how it's really an injury. Show me that's the case. If it's just the case that you're amiss because you lost the captain's armband, get over it. It happens. Maybe you're not the leader on the pitch that you think you are. Maybe you're not necessarily captain material. It doesn't diminish you as a player. No. It just means you shouldn't wear the armband. That's
exactly.
It. That's it. It's not a personal reflection on you. It's just saying that there's maybe someone else better on the pitch that can handle things, like Samir Handanovic, which, quite honestly, I have to say, I'm impressed with Samir Handanovic. Handanovic, along with Perisic, one of the quieter players on the pitch. You don't see a lot of social media from him. You don't see, he's not engrossed in being interviewed all the time. But he's on the pitch, I think. Yeah, I think he's very introverted in that respect. But yes. On the pitch, I think he's very commanding. He's got a full view of the field. He can maneuver people where they need to maneuver. And so far, I think he's done a pretty good job. So, but with Icardi, again, I'm of the opinion at this point, either play or get out. And if you get out, you don't get paid. Because how is it fair that if you can't substantiate, it's kind of like when you're at work, okay? If you miss 3 or 4 days at work, at least here in the States, I don't know if it's the same in Sweden, but at least here in the States, a lot of employers say, okay, bring me a doctor's note to excuse your absence. If you can't bring a doctor's note, then it's typical, it's probably likely that you didn't go see the doctor, and you're probably going to get dinged for it, and they're not going to pay you for that time that they were going to pay you anyway for taking sick time. To me, I think the same principle applies with Icardi. If you cannot provide significant evidence that you have some sort of a nagging knee injury that allows you, doesn't allow you to play, then fine. Okay. If you can't prove it, we're not going to pay you, because why should we waste, hundreds of thousands of euro every week paying you to wear a silly ass hat and talk to your wife the whole match? Why? I mean, if that's the case, hey, Inter, I'm looking for a gig. I'll take €100 every week, and I'll just sit there and look pretty too.
Yeah,
it's not fair. It doesn't bring about the type of message that I think you want to give to the rest of the team. And from what I understand, the rest of this team is pretty well galvanized by this situation, which is great. That is probably the best worth Icardi could possibly have at this point. And the fact that he's galvanized the rest of the locker room to say, hey, you know what? Don't play. We're doing better without you. Don't play. We'll find someone who wants to wear our colors and who wants to be part of our team next year. You can go on and play for you. You can ride the pine with Juventus. You can try to get some, you can try to squeeze in some playing time with Napoli, or you can struggle to even find the field if you're in England. So best of luck to you, man. Good luck. Go have at it. But don't stop taking money.
I'm telling you, man, it's a Ewing effect.
Yeah, it is. It is. But still, I just think that there's got to be a clear message here. And I think, say what you will about Beppe Marotta, that, him going on Tiki Taka and talking with Wanda Nar and trying to calm her down, say what you will about it. I think it was a good move, but, some disagree. He's got to be very savvy here. He's got to be very savvy in what he does, in what this next step is. If Icardi rejects the contract, so be it. That's it. In the summer, he's gone. Done. End of story. Period. The end.
I actually read that, that it was false, that Napoli actually made a proposal of, 10, 11 million euros, because as many of you who watch Serie A understand, that Napoli doesn't have that type of budget where they can actually afford to pay that type of money to a player.
Would you really want to pay 10 or 11 million euro a year for that kind of drama? Would you want to pay 10 or 11 million euro just to deal with Wanda Nara on a yearly basis?
And that's the next thing. So, first of all, in Italy, you have the three northern clubs, with the stripes. It's Inter, it's Milan, and it's Juventus. So when you play for one of these teams, usually you don't go to the other teams, because then, you downgrade in a sense, because the three biggest teams in Italy are this. So that's the first thing. Second thing is the thing that you're talking about, is everything that comes with someone like Icardi. So with that being said, I'm not so sure that some of these teams might even want to deal with that, because some of these teams, they're like a working machine. So they have, I think about it like this, let's say for an example that he comes to Real Madrid, or he goes to Real Madrid and he plays there. It's so much that his wife can actually say to that type of club or make this type of stay. I mean, it becomes a little bit weird, So dealing with that type of it just becomes a very bad situation. And I'm with you on that boat. That I think that when Wanda Nara was on tiki-taka and made those types of statements. And Marotta actually called in. I think that was a very good move of him because he actually took a stand and you know, showed basically that he put Inter in a good light in a way, because he didn't, I think that when someone of that type of director actually goes out of his way to actually do something like that, you know that it takes actually a lot for him to do something like that. So the situation must be a little bit too infected. And
well, I would just love to see the first interaction between Wanda Nara and the management of Manchester United or Real Madrid.
They would just let him rot up in the stands. I, you know, it's not so much money for them either. Like, they can pay him $10 million and let him rot for 4 years. They don't give two shits about that.
Without question.
So I mean, if that's the case, you know, and that's the next thing. Like if he goes to one of these clubs, you know, how is he going to approach that? And to be fair with Icardi, one of the things that was proposed to him in order for him to come to Inter, I think, was the fact that he will get the captaincy for the team. And I'm with you. I don't think that he was ready for that, because regardless of how bad or good Inter has been the last couple of years, it is a sleeping giant. So it's a very big club. So with that comes a different kind of, you know, how you carry yourself in a sense. Because when you talk about captains in Inter, you know, for the last two decades, you have someone like Zanetti or, you know, Cordoba, Cambiasso. And before that, in history, you have people like Facchetti or whoever you want. You know, all of these men carry themselves in a certain way. So then comes someone like Icardi, who's, you know, so polarizing and you know, has, is extremely outspoken, and he does a book about himself when he's 23 years old. It was just wrong from the. I think it was wrong from the beginning, but in a way, it wasn't only his fault. To make that clear, too, I think that the whole situation was infected to begin with. So, you know, it is what it is.
But even though you're promised something, or if that were the case, or there's even a gentleman's agreement that, hey, you come here, we're going to make you the captain. Okay, that's fine. But situations change. And if you can't live up to that kind of a job, it's just like with any other job. If you can't live up to that job, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to have that job for very much longer. And whether it was, you know, we're all promised something when we come on board. You know, you're either promised, okay, this is your job, this is your title, this is your pay. Okay, but if you can't fulfill those responsibilities, guess what? You don't have the job anymore. Exactly. End of story. Done.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I don't want to belabor Icardi. I don't want to give it any more credence than it already has. I think there's a ton of it. I just soon kind of move on. And the last topic we'll cover here, Sam, is Friday afternoon, at least Friday afternoon here on the East Coast of the United States. Is another big match for Inter. They will take on. I can never pronounce this right. My Italian's decent, but sometimes it's really bad. So, Cagliari.
Yes.
Yeah. So that will be a 2:30 p.m. kickoff here on the East Coast. An evening kick on Friday for those in Europe. And here we have, you know, two teams on a completely different path, at least, you know, respectively saying. Inter, third place, 2 points above Inter Milan, 3 points up on Roma, and a good bit of distance from Lazio in sixth. And then if you scroll down the table, you go all the way down to 14th, and there's Cagliari. They are 14th on 24 points. They are only about, if my math is right, 6 points off of safety from Bologna, who's in 18th place. There's quite a bit of congestion there. You've got Cagliari with 24 points, Spal with 23 points, Udinese with 22, and Empoli with 21. But what's shocking here is you look at the goal differential. Outside of Frosinone, Chievo, and Bologna, as well as Empoli, Cagliari has the worst goal differential in Serie A at minus 15. That means that they are scoring 22. They are giving up 37 goals. That's what they've done in their 25 matches they played in Serie A thus far. So what that tells me, offense is kind of weak and defense is even worse. So again, on paper, this should be a match that no matter what lineup Luciano Spalletti rolls out, whether Keita Balde's back in, whether Lautaro Martinez comes back into play, whatever front formation he has here, it should be easy pickings for Inter. And defensively, I mean, you can't say enough about Inter's defense. It's one of the best in Europe. I mean, yes. They've only given up 20 goals in 25 matches, and that's a third best in Serie A, and it's one of the best in Europe, while they're scoring 37, which is also one of the best in Serie A, although not as high as you might think. Juventus obviously running away with it, but Roma with 49 goals, that's how many they scored. Unfortunately, Roma's given up 33, so that would explain why they're in fifth currently and not higher up on the table. But again, this should be a match that's easy pickings offensively for Inter and should give the defense no problem whatsoever. But again, as soon as you say that, you think, well, what's
provincial teams? Provincial teams. Calgary is a provincial team. But to begin with, have a look out after a player named Nicolo Barella. He's a central midfielder in Calgary. He's been rumored to come to Inter. He's a young player, very talented player. He plays in a position which is my all time favorite player. Plays in that position. He has good feet, good sense of the game. So, and he actually has been called up to Roberto Mancini's national Italian national team, basically. So he has a lot of good things going for him. So look out for him as well. He has a lot of upside, and I actually hope that he continues his progress and he actually becomes an Inter player, because we need those types of players, especially after Cambiaso and those types of player left the club. We haven't really filled that hole, in a sense, and Brozovic doesn't have any playmates that hold the same type of caliber. So. Look out for Calgary, and I believe that this game, I'm not so sure it's going to be so many goals. I think that we should watch out for the counterattacks, and it wouldn't surprise me if this game's actually stopped, if we win like a 1-0 or something like that, because, again, this is that those types of games, where they're just going to park the bus in front of the goal and hope, on the counterattacks, or it could be that because of the Ewing effect and the offensive play is going more fluid right now. Vecino starts to go, have started to score again. Perisic is scoring, Politano is scoring. Hopefully, Keita Balde comes back because we have a lot of he has a lot of playing in him as well. So if he comes back, you have a lot to gain from that as well. And now hopefully Lautaro Martinez scores a. Some, but I have a feeling that it's not going to be so many goals. It's going to be a pretty tight game, in my opinion. But I can be totally wrong. But that's what I think. I think 1-0 is a healthy approach to this game.
Take it to the bank. Sam says 1-0, and with his track record, you can't go wrong. So that's solid. That's solid. That match that match is Friday, 2:30 p.m. on the East Coast here in the United States. ESPN Plus will have it here in the U.S. DAZN, D-A-Z-N, Sky Calcio will also have the match. Make sure you check out our preview coming up on Serpents of Inter. Sam, it was great to visit, and we've covered a lot of ground. We'll cover a lot more. And thanks for joining. Thanks for joining us this week. And appreciate you having on all the way from Sweden.
Thank you very much. And Forza Inter.
That's right. We'll have much, much more kind of kicking around the idea of maybe doing some mini podcasts during the week. Just see how that goes. Not really sure how that's going to play out just yet, but it's a possibility. We'll see what happens. But for more information on Inter, all things Inter Milan, make sure you keep checking out Serpents of Matadina. .com. Of course, next week we'll probably talk about this match. We'll talk about the first Europa League match with Frankfurt. Spal is on the horizon, and the Derby della Maddalena is coming up on March 17th, and that one could be a big one, depending on how things go over the next week or so for both these teams. So for Sam Poor, I am Matt Clark, your site manager for Serpents of Maddalena. You have topics you want to talk about, you have questions you want to ask us, great. Make sure you reply in the comments below this post, and we'll be more than happy to get to them as we can. So with that, we'll sign off, and Forza Inter.
Forza Inter.
Il gioco di gambe, guadagna al fondo, il cross, e gol, 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 Dambro, Dambro, Dambro. Palla ancora dentro l'area di rigore, c'è un mischione, Nainggolan, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol, e gol. Al 32.
The Serpents of Inter podcast is brought to you on the SB Nation Network. For more information and to check out all Inter Milan news all the time, make sure to log on to serpentsofmaddalena.com.